All right, we are here. It is the Minor Talk season preview. I'm with UTEP football head coach Scotty Walden, year three into the mix. Coach, thanks for always doing this. This is kind of an off-season tradition.
Yeah, it is, man. Every time you guys come to the office, I know the season's right around the corner. So great to have you guys always in, and we're excited for the season.
Although it kind of never ends, right? It's 365, especially nowadays. I mean, thankfully, there's only one portal that opens and closes and stuff like that. But thankfully, you know, there's only that kind of thing. But it's such an ongoing process and every day for college football and college athletics nowadays.
It truly is. I mean, I think that, you know, even we get so much access to our guys in the summer, too, that, you know, although tomorrow is – you know, going to be really exciting with the guys coming to the building. You'll feel the energy, and it's the start of, you know, what you work for the entire year. There's still a sentiment of like, man, we've done this before. You know, we've had, this is year three. The terminology is very consistent, although, you know, we made a lot of adaptations. But, you know, the guys, I think, had an amazing summer, had an amazing spring, and we got so many reps in summer. So I'm really excited about that, and I think there's going to be just a kind of a stable, you know, clear, exciting vibe, you know, in the air when the guys show up and get ready to go through phase five.
You're somebody who comes to UTEP here in year three, 5-19. You don't shy away from it. And you talked about a lot over the offseason that the recruiting's there, the excitement is there at UTEP. It's just the results that you want to continue to provide for the Miners. But how do you kind of look at 2026?
Yeah, no, I mean, no, 100% hit the nail on the head. You know, I own the record 100%. And I truly believe and know that, man, our guys every single day are hitting the metrics that we want to see. And the main metric left is and the only metric that matters, the biggest metric, is the win loss and the wins and the losses, right? And so we got to get that corrected, and that falls on me, and that falls on our staff, and falls on execution. But this is the most excited I've been about a team in a long time, you know, because the leadership's there, the depth's there, the talent. You know, obviously fall camp is going to be critical that we stay healthy. You know, that's going to be, I think, one of the biggest challenges I have is, you know, getting a team ready to play, toughness, physicality, all the things that you have to be successful in the game of football. But, you know, also finding, you know, being smart, you know, taking care of them in a sense of like trying to make sure that we're healthy going into Norman, Oklahoma, and going into the season, you know, healthy. But this is the most excited, Adrian, I've ever been for our team since we've been here. The player-driven leadership from guys like Jaden Wilson, Garrett Hawkins, I mean, Xavier Smith. I mean, you go down the list. I could name you 20 guys that are doing such a great job of that. You know, it's going to be really fun and exciting, but no, 100% on the record. And we feel like we have, from academics, from you name it, you know, we feel like we have achieved and broken records and done things that haven't been done here before. And that's what we set out to do, is we want to do stuff that's never been done, but now it's time to flip that scoreboard. And I know our team is fully ready to do that.
And even last year, you think about 17 players in your two deep going down with injuries and things like that. I mean, it's not an excuse. It's and I don't think you've ever used it as an excuse, but no. I also would say, what do you do to try to make sure that the health is kind of, you know, it stays atop your mind, and make sure that you could, you know, what can you do to avoid some of those injuries? I know some of those times injuries are unavoidable, especially when you hit a number like that.
I get that question all the time. And, you know, number one, to answer your question, it's the hardest thing I'm dealing with right now is that give and take. But I think, you know, even just things where, you know, the way we structure practice to make it flow to where we're, you know, time on the field is more efficient. I think the biggest thing we've created in our program since the first year is just efficiency and how we operate. And that's, you know, refining your standards and refining your vision and making sure that, you know, we're making small, you know, incremental adjustments to be more efficient with our time on the field and our time with the guys. And so I want to do better, you know, as a head coach of, you know, hey, like if I got a team meeting or I got a message, like I'm pounding that, let's go, and then let's go to work, as opposed to, you know, maybe dragging something out. You know what I mean? Because our kids know, that's the cool part about year three. Like our guys know the standard, like they know the vision, they know the standard, and God, the standard is real in our program. They enforce it, they fight for it. I mean, I can't tell you how many things have gone on the field or during summer workouts, and it gets handled by the players, you know, and I don't even know about it, you know, because there's no need to know about it. Like these guys are on top of it. So now we can really focus on what matters. But, you know, just in regards to, you know, the health, I get that question all the time about, you know, did these injuries happen in the Sun Bowl, Glory Field, away games, practice? The truth is, man, when you look at the data, it is literally scattered. I mean, heck, you know, we lost Alan Gant in pregame last year against UL Monroe. You know, like, it's just, it just things that, you know, it never happened. And I appreciate you bringing that up, because I do not use injuries as an excuse for losing games. It is a variable that can hurt you, you know, if you hit that bug. And unfortunately, we hit that bug last year, but we've been doing everything in our power to make sure that our guys are as healthy and as ready as possible. Dalton Elliott, our new strength coach, has done a fantastic job. I've been really impressed with where our guys are at after the summer. So, you know, we feel we are in the best health we've ever been going into fall camp.
You're extremely positive when it comes to UTEP making this move to the Mountain West, and things like facility upgrades have already been implemented. Fundraising has already been implemented, and it was necessary because UTEP forfeited some of their revenue sharing that they had with Conference USA, and then even the first year of the Mountain West not getting the full complement. But where is UTEP at in terms of that revenue sharing? And I'm sure for you, you've been as hands-on as it is to encourage the donor base and the fans to come out and support, and they've done a good job, to your point, of you know, coming along board and you know, helping out the program.
Yeah, Adrian, they've done a great job, and I'll be the first, and I'll say it over and over again, like, there is no better support, better people than the people at the 915, and I mean that with all my heart and soul. The people always ask, what's the main thing in recruiting? You tell people about UTEP Wild Pastors, it's the people. I mean, after, you know, our first 2 years and the I think the mindset early on was, we're not going to invest until we see the results. And then I think pretty soon, and I appreciate, like, our donor base hearing me and our administration pushing, is like, pretty soon it started to kind of become a reality that, hey, like, we're going to have to invest in order to have a chance to get the results that we're seeking. Right. And that's hard, man. That's hard for people to put their hard earned money up. But I think that we have such a loyal donor base that wants to see this place succeed, and they believe in the vision and where this place is headed. And I cannot thank them enough for stepping up with. I mean, we raised $3 million this past spring to ensure, you know, our financial future, you know, of where we're going. Like, to put it tangibly for you, this will be the first time in our tenure here where we already know how much money we will have for retention and acquisition going into January. So I think about, like, going into January the past 2 years, and, man, we're just, okay, this guy needs this, this guy needs this, and we're just flying by the seat of our pants, doing the best we can. And due to donor support, and then another element of this, as you mentioned, is the move to the Mountain West, which obviously the reigniting the rivalries, like, it's going to be so fun to get our fan base back engaged because of those rivalries and the regional footprint. We all know the reasons why it makes sense. But the other thing in this day and age of college football of why it makes the most sense is that it forces us to get to a level of revenue sharing, NIL distribution, nutrition budget, recruiting budget, that a modern day, you know, G5 program needs to be at to compete at a high level. And I think our administration has done a fantastic job of pushing that envelope, and they're going to keep pushing. I mean, Dr. Wilson and Jim Center, they know what we need. I mean, it's not like they don't know, you know, this landscape. You know, the coaches know, and we got to keep pushing for that, and we got to keep working for that. And so, you know, I don't know where we'll end up landing in terms of revenue share in the league. You know, I mean, it might be year one, because, I mean, it's moving. The thing about it, Adrian, is, like, whatever the number was last year for teams, it is more this year, and it is moving at a fast rate. But the same is true for us. What we started at is nowhere near, you know, where we're at now, which is a positive. Now, where do we rank amongst Mountain West? I mean, my guess would be, you know, to the, maybe the, like, the, you know, the third or fourth tier, you know, maybe. I don't know. You know, I don't know that we're going to be middle to upper tier yet. But I certainly think that we're headed the right way. And that's all that matters to me, is that we're headed the right way, and we're in the neighborhood of people, so that we can go compete and do what we got to do. And at the end of the day, I was telling our staff, you know, the other day, we got to, regardless of whatever funds we have, whatever that, we got to go coach. We got to go make sure our guys are executing and playing to a standard. And at the end of the day, that's what matters. But I'm glad our university understands the investment.
You mentioned staff, 11 new faces and personnel moving around. I know even, like, Joe Popolardo, who worked on special teams, now switching over on offense and helping out as a co-offensive coordinator. But how has it been gelling with the new coaches so far this offseason and preparing for fall camp?
Yeah, it's been really good. I've been really, really impressed with our staff. And just, you know, like anything, just, you know, you got to have an onboarding process. You got to get aligned quickly. And our staff has done a great job of that. I mean, we just got back from a retreat where we really get to, you know, get away and hammer things out. But I think it's been great to bring fresh new ideas. You know, the energy has been awesome. These guys, I mean, you got to think, man. I mean, all that happened, right? And we hired a bunch of new guys, as you mentioned. They got here in January. They dropped their bags off at the hotel. They came over here and recruited in the portal. We got guys walking in, walking out, right? It's just a chaotic time, and we still signed, you know, the number one G5 class last year in the state of Texas, you know, and still had, you know, an upper tier recruiting class in the Mountain West amidst all of that, of those new guys coming in. And so I thought they just did a great job of hitting the ground running and bringing phenomenal energy. I think you're going to see a coaching staff that is extremely detail-oriented, that is, you know, high energy. But I sought out to really hire not only great people, but great teachers. And they have really, really, really enhanced the execution in their rooms. And that's what we need. It kind of, everything ties back to that main metric you and I talked about earlier is the main metric we got to chase after. Not that we weren't chasing after year one, year two, but I don't think people understand, like, all of the internal clean up and internal things you have to do to lift a program, right? That you know, might, let's call it what it is, might have been struggling in the past, right? To lift that off the ground to get it where you want. And now that metric of flipping that scoreboard, like, you have one big thing in that is getting, you know, great teachers in here to get execution, to demand that execution. And we got a staff that has done a really good job of that. So I'm really excited about our coaching staff this year.
One of the biggest offseason storylines was your new quarterback and EJ Colson. And he did all the offseason interviews. We've heard from you all offseason long talking about him, singing the praises. And I reflect back on last year, and it was the turnovers, the 20 combined turnovers among quarterbacks and the minus 12 turnover margin. But that continues to be one of the things that you preach about EJ, is that his decision making is where you want it. How do you kind of work with him to make sure that that's one of the main emphasis is along with scoring points on offense?
Yeah, that's, I mean, every single day coaching decision making. And that's why, like, I put one of my most trusted individuals who's been with me for 6 years, and Joe Pappalardo, who knows how I think. He knows the ins and outs of what we do. And he's just a loyal guy that is super knowledgeable to him. Every person, you know, he's coached Kenny Odom, Cam Tom, all the people we put him in charge of over the years, all this, it's always turned to gold. You know, it's always done really well. And so to have him in the room, you know, and myself with EJ and the rest of the quarterbacks, I mean, EJ completed, I'm looking at his numbers up here, he's over 70% in the summer. He's over 70% again in the spring. I mean, he's been extremely efficient with what he's done. And I've said this, and I've gone on record on it, is the best thing that he does is make great decisions with the football. And, like, at the end of the day, arm talent's great, feet are great, scrambling ability, all that stuff's great, but his decision making is, to me, what separates him, and to me, what you know, has allowed him to step in this number one role. But I've also been really impressed with the rest of that group. You know, they have really bought into that, and just how important that is of checking the ball down when need be, throwing it away. So we're going to be coaching the fire out of that from day one. Not that we haven't, but I mean, that is going to be the emphasis. But also too, what we've identified with our offense is when you have, you know, 20 interceptions, everybody, you know, thinks, says, hey, that was just terrible quarterback play. And while yes, like, no question, there are plays there, but it always starts somewhere. And it always starts with, what kind of havoc are you giving up on your quarterback to force him to scramble, to make these decisions, you know, receiver execution, but the list goes on and on, you know? And so, you know, you have to make sure the whole offense understands that this is not just a QB issue. This is an entire offense issue, making sure that we are all executing and giving that guy time to make the appropriate reads, and then people being in the right spot at the right time. And this is the best I've seen, you know, our offense this past summer and late in the spring. You could start to see it, of just guys playing free and fast and executing and understanding that, you know, and the complexity, the, you know, the things we were adding, you know, that, again, like, we've taken that away. It's just all about execution, you know, and making sure that we are just going all in on what we do and getting really stinking good at it. So, you know, at the end of the day, you know, we've got a base system to work from. Our guys have answers, and they're playing fast, and that's what I've seen all summer.
I really like the complement of running backs you all have. What do you need to do? It sounds like it's not just a singular position issue or thing, kind of like what you alluded to for the quarterback position, but what do you need to do as a collective group to establish a run game?
Well, number one, we have gone all in on two rooms that I was fully committed to just revamping is the O-line room and the running back room. And we feel like with the resources we were allocated this offseason, we were able to go compete for some guys in the transfer portal that could come in and give us an immediate kind of, you know, shot in the arm, if you will, while we continue to develop the younger group. And I still think those younger group guys in those two rooms, like Elijah McCoy, Diego De La Cruz, like Tyler Roberts, those guys are still going to be impactful to our team. But we were able to go out and I look at our – not only our O-line, but I look at that running back room, and they take the field, and I'm like, wow, like top to bottom, that might be the most flip room in the program. I mean, just the six guys we have in there, I think you could play with any of them. And when you look at the O-line group, when I tell you the depth there and the talent there and the experience there is just different from top to bottom, that I'm really excited about that group. And so, number one, it started with that. Number two, it started with really – narrowing in the system to this is what we are going to hang our hat on, and we are going to work on answers in it, technique in it, and then we're gonna rock and roll. You know what I'm saying? So I'm really excited about those two groups and the personnel there.
And I want to see one of those younger guys blossom on that offensive front. Like we saw bits and pieces of it in spring. I mean, whether it was Preston Perkins or whether it was Maddox Hubert, whether it was Tyler Roberts, who you just mentioned, who's a behemoth of an athlete. You see him, and he's one of the tallest guys you've ever seen set foot on a football field. Mm-hmm. When you hit on one of those guys, and then you already have the transfer portal acquisitions you have on that offensive front, it just makes it to where that offense could truly be deep on that line. And it happens where you have attrition, you have guys go in and out, or you have just rotation on that offensive front. But how can you hit on some of those younger guys and then mold it with some of the new players who you've acquired through the transfer portal?
Yeah, you got to continue. We're a developmental program. And I say that all the time. And I say that in a positive way. Like, we're here to develop people and players. And that's even if we get a transfer for 6 months, you know, our job is to make him better when he came in our program than when he graduates, you know. And so we got to continue to invest in the development of those young guys, which, you know, those guys, all those guys you just mentioned, from Perkins to Tyler to Maddox, they've all gotten bigger, better, stronger. Like, they're developing. And now, if they compete and they win the job, like, heck yeah, they beat out a transfer guy we brought in or whatever. Like, the best players are going to play. I don't care if it's a kid who came from Texas or a kid that came from a D3 school down here, a high school over here, wherever, like, the best players play. And what has been done, though, in that O-line room and running back room that leads to the best development you could ask for, the one thing that always creates that is competition. Like, if I'm in a room and I know that I'm the guy, I can be complacent. And I think there's been times, again, our past 2 years here where it's like they can look around the room and kids are smart and they can say, you know what, like, I think I'm the dude. Like, it's pretty obvious. You can go in those two rooms right now, and man, it's a dogfight every day. You know, so I think competition brings out the best in people, and competition brings the best out in programs. And we got to be, every drill that we do in practice is going to be competition oriented, just like it always has been. But it's going to be amplified because you got some really good players in each room, especially those two rooms. So I think it's going to be fun to watch that play out.
Now, when it comes to the O-line and the running backs, that seems short up. Let's talk skill position players. This is a group where you get back a lot of guys. Cash Cheeks, Jaden Smith, who we're excited to watch play a full season healthy. And you look at a guy like Cam Thomas, all these guys back into the fold. But then you bring in new players, Carver Cheeks, Cash's brother. Oh, you're bringing in younger guys like Raphael Campbell, and you're bringing in so many at Royal Capel into the system and so on and so forth. Where is the skill position players at right now in your eyes, where – you use these guys all over the field, whether they're taking snaps at running back, whether they're catching passes out of the backfield or in space. Where are you at right now in your skill position, guys?
I'll tell you, I feel it's the deepest we've ever been. You know, all those guys you just mentioned are going to play a critical role. And I just think whenever, you know, we go back to the injury thing and you get guys like Cam Thomas back, Jaden Smith back, Alan Gant back, Chase Biddle back, and I go through the whole list. But those guys, Cash Cheeks, Judah Izinwa, I mean, you know, at tight end last year, you know, our top two guys go down and you have to start moving positions. I just, you know, I can't tell you what a spark that has brought back to our team. And to put it in like kind of a, you know, just to put it in your mind is, you know, we do our minor teams in the offseason where we pick captains, they draft a team, compete for points, where they go to a volleyball game, they go to a softball game, they go, you know, to soccer, wherever, you know, they go, they can earn points for their team. Well, we do five on defense, five on offense. And when you look at the five Blue Blaze captains, you know, when we picked them, we were like, wait a second, there was a common denominator. None of them contributed to play for us last year. And it was because of the injuries. Now some, like Judah, made it through like four games, and some guys got in fall camp. Some guys got into game one. It was just Jaden, you know, in the summer. So having those guys back, like Jaden and Cam, the explosiveness is so exciting to have back on our offense. And you know, I think that Cash Cheeks and then bringing in Carver, as you mentioned. I mean, those guys, and then on the defensive side, I mean, the secondary is as deep as I feel we've ever been, from Cody Lowe to Xavier Smith to TJ Tillman to Caleb Miles, who we brought in. I mean, you go to the list. So in totality as a team, I feel much deeper than we ever have been, but especially at those skill positions.
Yeah, I mean, let's talk about, I was going to jump into the defense, but you led off with the secondary. This is the best secondary maybe I've seen in a decade from UTEP, yeah, just on paper. And you get and you think about the safeties. You have an experienced guy in Xavier Smith who's been with you for a while now. And then you also pair him along with an rising up-and-comer in Alan Gant, who's fully healthy.
Yes.
And then you think about some of the other guys that you just mentioned.
Yeah.
Justin Content, TJ Tillman, Miles. You also think about Cody Lowe. Like, this secondary, yeah, right here is built for what is ahead, the,
yeah,
Mountain West, and,
yeah,
and a schedule where you're going to, yeah, face quarterbacks who are on a much different level,
yeah,
than previous years.
And it's more important than ever, because, you know, the and I talked about this at the media days, is the variation of play style in the Mountain West, of, mm-hmm, Air Force running the option, North Dakota State running, you know, AGAT power out of 22 personnel. Then you're going to play San Jose, Hawaii, who are going to throw it every play, you know. So you got to have depth. And, you know, in my experiences, the places I've been and the programs we've built, like, you know, when you start to get around year three, you're starting to build that depth, you know, where it's like, okay, your threes could go out and play. And I feel like, you know, that's really what I want to see. You know, I don't want to crown that yet. And I know you said this is the best secondary you've seen in a decade. We'll make them earn that first.
Yeah, right?
I want to make them earn that, but I'm with you. But for me, that's something I really, because I feel on paper and what I've seen, that the depth back there at DB, but in totality in our team, is where I feel like we could potentially push to three deep in a lot of areas.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm anxious to see if that really plays out in pads and fall camp, and we can go utilize our depth better, because that's been a challenge as we've built our roster the first 2 years. But I'm excited. This is the best we've ever been depth wise. But that secondary adds a blend of experience and talent that I'm really excited about. Cody Lowe, I think, is poised for a breakout year. And then you look at our corners. I know you mentioned Xavier. He's the mainstay, man. I mean, for him to continue, again, getting him back, Coker back, Content back, Cody, I mean, Jaden Wilson, we had to fight like heck to prevent them from getting in the transfer portal, you know, with people wanting them. And, you know, obviously TJ Tillman, Caleb Miles, man, I mean, Deuce Thompson's a young player that's come in and really, as a freshman, you know, really showed a lot. And so that secondary is really, really multiple when you get down the nitty gritty. And Donovan Howard and Esteban Guillory, two guys, mm-hmm, that they come in and they got so much experience. Yeah, man, they had them and him and those guys and Xavier back there with Cody and the experience. We feel really, really solid about that depth.
Yeah, and now let's go to the D-line, where you reference Coker, but you also think about some other guys who are up and coming as well. Echo Taylor, Shaq Bowser, like those two guys, yeah, really emerged onto the scene last year with a lot of talent around them. And then,
yeah,
every year, I mean, consistently since you've been here, you can bring in plug-and-play guys at different positions.
Oh, yeah.
And maybe we could just easily say Derek Burns is a plug-and-play guy because he missed all last year, too. So when you get all these guys together, it could mean for a lethal D-line as well.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up Derrick Burns. He's another one that, you know, we were me and Coach Jones were walking upstairs the other day, and we were just talking about D-line and talking about how we used the term wild card, but it's just because, not because of his talent, but because, heck, you know, this injury happened, you know, a year ago, and we're like, wait a second, Derek's back clear and he's going. And I mean, he could provide a big time spark for us. He's a stud and an unbelievable person. I go on days talking about Derek Burns. But our D line, you know, obviously you mentioned Ashton and who's the mainstay. And then, you know, two guys, you mentioned one of them that, you know, had some snaps last year, but we watched develop. And Shaquan Bowser is one of them. The other one's a Ryan Fisher that I'm, mm-hmm, so excited,
yeah,
for Miner fans to see. Two former Power 5 signees, you know, Shaquan to Colorado, Orion to West Virginia. And, man, the development of those guys and the confidence they're playing with. And then you talk about a guy we brought in from Stephen F. Austin who, you know, was a mainstay for those guys, Elijah Fields, who's, mm-hmm, going to be, I mean, he is an impact player. And then Starling Miles, a kid we got from Eastern Michigan, who's a 6'7", you know, pass rusher that you sit there and you're like, and that's what they look like. And then you watch him play, and that's what they play like. You know, so he's a heck of a player, man. So our front seven, you know, is going to be, I think, a really, really strong suit of our football team.
Well, and then even linebacker too, right? I mean, you think about Jaden Wilson. And then this is like a product of something that was even here before you were here. But it just seems like year over year, you're getting linebackers who are really stepping up, shining in moments. And that's how this defense is kind of built, where gaps will open and the linebacker is tasked to execute. And, you know, you think about guys like Jaden Wilson, hard-hitting, Vashawn Brunswick coming through the system. You think about a guy like Garrett Hawkins back from injury. And then a guy like Shea Smith who's making the position change. So that linebacker room, although we might not see it in total snaps, a ton of high football IQ experience.
100%. You know, you lose a guy like Micah Davey, that's always, you know, a challenge, right? But I feel like we've answered with being as deep as we've ever been at the linebacker room. And all our years running our system, the Mike and the Sam, they have always been our leading tacklers. You know, there's been other positions that have been extremely productive. But, you know, as you said, you know, we really gear things for our linebackers to be the best tacklers, you know, on our defense and to be the guys at the point of attack a lot. And so I could go on hours talking Jaden Wilson and Garrett Hawkins and what they mean to this football team, their, you know, drive, their leadership. I mean, you're talking about, you know, Jaden Wilson, who has such a voice because of who he is, but also him being able to lay out to our locker room, like, what El Paso, you know, means to him, what a winning football program in the city of El Paso would mean for this city and for the people that live in it and the surrounding areas, and how much impact that would have. You know, like, he's able to articulate that in a way that only he can, you know, because he is from here, he's lived it. And you could just feel when he talks about it, the team is just, they start salivating, you know, because they want to bring the city a winner. And he's great at educating them on that. And then Garrett Hawkins, I mean, heck, we're going over to the, you know, Memorial Gym and doing our boot camp phase. You know, like, I think I told you, we like doing boot camp in there, trying to get a little juju from the 66 team. You know what I mean? So we go in there and do our early morning workouts. And I mean, if one morning it wasn't to the standard. And I mean, Garrett sent the whole team out and he's talking to him in the parking lot. And I'm like, man, I thought a coach was talking to him. That was Garrett. And I mean, he's that kind of guy, you know, he takes full control. And so getting him back healthy after losing him at the Texas game last year, I mean, his work ethic to get back to where he is now. He is a elite leader for our team.
We're out of time for this podcast here, Coach. But I have one more question. We'll talk special teams, all sorts of fall camp, plenty of time. We have plenty of time to do this in the coming weeks. But I do want to ask you your message to fans who are real excited about this season, who, you know, they have the thoughts of last year and the year before in the back of their minds. But understanding this is a new team, a whole new conference. What's your message to fans as you all get ready for this year?
Yeah, biggest thing is we need your support. You know, I'm, you know, there's going to be zero excuses made for last year or the year before. All I can tell you is that we have worked tirelessly around the clock, you know, to build this program into something special for you. And we need you there, and we need your support. And we're not going to stop fighting. We got a group of kids that love this city. We love this city, and we're fighting. And we know that's you know, sometimes words on camera, but execution is what matters. And we are seeking that execution every day. And you're going to see a team that's going to play extremely hard and represent that pickaxe with everything they got in the Sun Bowl. But we can't do it without you. And thank you to our loyal supporters that have stepped up in an amazing way from a donor standpoint. But just buying a ticket and bringing your families to the games makes an enormous impact in putting fans, you know, in the stands. And you know, sometimes in life we got to walk by faith and not by sight. You know, sometimes you got to show up and have that faith before you see it. And I promise you, when that tide turns, we're going to remember those that had that faith. You know, so we're really excited to represent the UTEP Miners and everything we do, and excited for the season.
Thanks, Coach. Really appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. Picks up, guys. Appreciate you.